Let's go into the world as I agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare and decree today at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Background to that, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. In our previous teachings, we've come to examine that which is the Spirit of God that the believer has received. And we said when the believer receives the Spirit of God, by extension, the believer has received what? Power. Right? And we said there's no believer that is powerless. Every believer on earth has power. The question or the difference between believers is the fact that what do you know about the power that you've received? Altogether, you see, when you think about the work of the resurrection, we see God's demonstration of his power towards you as a believer. So you are not powerless, right? So the believer doesn't look for power. The believer only needs to understand what needs to be understood about power. Altogether, you know, Paul will tell you in Ephesians and says that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the riches of his glory, right? I pray that you receive the spirit of wisdom, which is the wisdom of the spirit that is revelation in the knowledge of what? The exceeding greatness of God's power towards you. Are we together? So when God wanted to flaunt his power, he flaunted it towards the saints. So a man who is a believer is a man who has received the flaunting of God's power. So you are one who has received the ability to do certain things because of that power. So you are never powerless. Say, I'm powerful. Say, I'm full of power. Are we together? So, by extension, how did you receive power? You received power because you received the Spirit. So, by receiving the Spirit, you receive power. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. That is not your car. That is not about your house. That is not about your job. I have not seen. No, that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul didn't have that in mind at all. Just reading context. Look at that again. He says, I have not seen, neither has he entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You know, if you are not careful, you will just conjoin scriptures. You now go back to Jeremiah, for the plans I have for you, they are of good. Oh, gracious Father, I have not seen. You are just reading out of context, and it doesn't look good on you. Are we together, right? So as it is written, I have not seen nor ears heard, it has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It tells you in verse 10, but God, hallelujah, God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit said all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in man, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by what? The Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12 carefully. Now we have what? Received. Not we will receive. No, now we have received. Not the Spirit of the world. So Paul now makes you know that there are two types of spirit that can be received. Yeah? For lack of grammatical explanation. So he says we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is what? Of God. That you might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So it means that the things of God that are freely given to you of God are by God for God. Did you get that? It's for edification for God's people. That's a better way to put that. So what did the Corinthians receive? Now Paul did not say we will receive the Spirit of God. No, he says we have received. So it makes it, if you're a good student of the world, you actually realize that what the believers or the things that Jesus or God says he has wrought in Christ are always mentioned in the epistles as in past tense. You get it? Right? What is past tense? Done, fulfilled, accomplished, received. Right? So the epistles, Paul will not tell you will be sanctified if you do this. No. He will only say you'll be sanctified if you receive the Spirit. And once you receive the Spirit, he will say you are sanctified. You are justified. You are holy, made blameless, accepted in the, not you will be accepted, you are accepted in the beloved. That means you are one who God boasts in. You are one who is God's prized possession. Yeah, you are one who by God's Spirit, God has given you redemption of sins, redemption from sins, redemption from all the bondage of darkness. Bondage of sin and death. Right? So the Corinthians, even though they misbehave, they still have the Spirit. So your misbehaving doesn't take away the Spirit. Yeah, what the Spirit does to you is to realign your behavior. You don't receive the Spirit because of your behaviors. You actually behave because of the Spirit you received. You get that? They're different. You don't receive the Spirit because of your behaviors. You actually behave because of the Spirit you've received. So he says you've received. Are we together? Think about it this way. Imagine somebody gave you a gift of a car, right? And all your life you've been walking, or, you know, hopping on the bus and all of that. For us to see you actually make manifest that gift, what do we need to see you do? Anywhere you go to, you what? You buy diesel in your car and you what? You drive. Right? If somebody gives you a gift January 1st and as of December, the car, the nylon of the tear rubber, whatever, is still on the car, you've not moved it. What have you? You're as good as a man who doesn't have a gift. Did you get that? So, you see, you received a gift so you can aid mobility. You don't aid mobility to now receive the gift. Imagine, you don't wake up and start doing your hand like this on the main road. Or you're walking on pedestrian road. This is what I do. You are trying to actualize the mobility that God will give you. No. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, it is He has given you His Spirit so that you can be His prized possession. Regardless of the behavior that comes, now should there be right behavior? Yes, now there should be an expected thing. So, what are people say about you that has a car from January and at December you've never used the car, you've been walking? You are one who is not making use of the gift. So it means that, people will say there's something wrong with you. So it means that fundamentally, when you think of the gift of salvation, you must think of it as there's something expected because of that gift. You get that? Now, what is expected because of that gift? Let me not say it away. If by December 31st, you've not moved that car from January 1st, do you still have the gift? Yes. Does the gift stop being your gift by December 31st because you didn't drive it? No, now. But you know what you would have achieved with the gift from January 2nd, January 17th, August, November, December. But the gift is still yours in the fact that your V5 is registered in your name. Do you get that? So, regardless of what Paul is addressing about the Corinthians, he still reminds them that what? They have received the Spirit. So, now, Paul did not say, now I have received, but you will receive it when you become better in your conduct. No. He says, we have received. And two chapters after that, which you call chapter 5, Paul now tells you, I hear there's a fornication among you, that even the unbelievers don't have that kind of fornication. Where a man is sleeping with his father's wife. Did you get that? That a man is sleeping with his father's wife doesn't take away the fact that we have received. We have received. Received what? Received the Spirit of God, not of this world. Did you get that? Now go back to chapter 12. So, Paul now tells in chapter 12, now concerning spirituals. Now we said the word spirituals there means pneumaticos, that is, things of the Spirit. Things that are inherent in the Spirit. That's a very important thing to take note of. Things inherent in the Spirit. He says, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. So the fact that a man is indwelled by the Spirit doesn't mean he has knowledge automatically. Is that true? Yeah? Yeah? You don't have knowledge just because you have the Spirit. No. You have the Spirit so you know about the Spirit. You see, the work of salvation is not a package that just came and as soon as you received the Spirit, you knew everything you needed to know about God. No. 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 That's what Paul will say, but grow in grace, in 2 Peter 3, which is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So, there's such a thing called spiritual growth that is embedded in what? Salvation. What does spiritual growth embedded in salvation do? It makes you know about that salvation you received and the effect that that took cause in your heart. Are you following me? Are you here? So, he says that, now concerning spirituals, 1 Corinthians 12, I would not have you to be what? Ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to what? Understand. So, how do you understand, or how do you quench the ignorance of a man? Giving him what? Understanding. What is giving him understanding? Giving him what? Knowledge. Did you get that? Now it says, I will not have it to be good. Look at verse 4. Now, there are what? Diversities of gifts. Now, the word diversity is the word in the Greek that is what? I taught that on Wednesday, but I'm not going to go into the Greek words now. I just want you to get it. The word diversity is the word that means variety. You should know that. Variety. Yeah? Diversity means what? Variety. if you go through the Greek lexicon, you find out that the word diversity in verse 4, the word differences in verse 5, the word differences in verse 6, or diversity in verse 6, they are the same Greek word. And the word means what? Variety. Are you following? Yeah, right? So, how do you read verse 4? Now there are varieties of gifts. Did you get that? Did you get that? Now, what's the word gifts? The word there, gift, please, if you don't note this, right, it may affect a lot later. The word gift is the word charisma. I taught that on Wednesday. Charisma. I've heard about what you call the charismatic ministry. Heard about charismatic ministry? Yeah. So, charismatic ministry, there are people that fight against the charismatic ministry because they think that the things of the Spirit ended with the apostles. Which is very interesting to think. So it says, the gifts there is the word charisma, and it's a word that implies supernatural faculties or abilities. Supernatural faculties or abilities. Supernatural faculties or what? Abilities. Are you there? Now, that word also, a better way to write it is a word that implies an endowment that comes with birth. Right? I'll call it a natural endowment that comes with a birth or with birth. So on account of the fact that you are born, you have it. Did you get that? See, for a man on this earth to just have it, he just needs to be born. Give an example of such things like that. Crying. You know, you just need to be born to cry. It's a natural thing. And I was saying on Wednesday, if you give birth to a child and the child doesn't cry, what do you do? From part of the world where I come from, I don't know if that's what they do all over the world. But you what? You beat them. You slap them. How can they welcome you to the world with beating? That's serious. They welcome you, welcome to the earth, and it's a flock. They used to welcome you. Why did you talk? So, in the real sense, you need to actually understand that those gifts there is the word charisma, and it deals with natural endowments that comes on account of being born. So if we say these are things that are endowments on account of being born, it means when we say you are born again, there are things that will come on account of being what? Born again. That means by default, a man that is born again, who has received the spirit of 1 Corinthians 2:12, is a man who has some supernatural endowments. What you can call born again endowments. You get that? Born again endowments. So what is Paul teaching? Now, there are varieties of born again endowments. Does that make sense to you? Now, there are diversities of gifts, means there are diversities, there are varieties of what? Supernatural faculties. So it means while you have an ability to hear with your physical ear, on account of the fact, you know, if you give birth to a baby, from that moment, the baby can hear. Right? On account of being born, the baby should hear. Same thing with the believer. On account of being born again, you should be able to hear. Hear who? Hear God. Did you hear that? The moment the baby is born by his mother, the baby begins or already knows, or should already be able to hear the mother. So, who gave birth to the baby? Who gave birth to the baby? The mother. Now, are you here? Who gave birth to the baby? The mother. When, who should the baby hear first? Ideally, the mother, the woman that gave birth to the baby. So it means that the mother will be an example of other human beings that baby can hear. Right? That. So now, the mother gives birth to a baby, the baby hears the mother. God gives birth to a baby, the baby hears who? God. Right? So when you say you are born again, it means there's a supernatural, it means from the moment you get saved, you can hear God. Did you hear that? The moment your child gets born, he or she can hear you as a mother. The moment a man is saved, you can hear God. It means a man that is saved already from the... That is why you can get saved and the next moment you start speaking in tongues. Why? Because upon being born again, there are supernatural abilities that comes with being born again. So, your faculties will include your ears. You can hear. You can see. Right. So, you know, much more than what is plugged into your eye socket is something deeper than the world cannot see. What's that? The eye of the spirit. You know, you can actually watch an event before it happens. You know now? Yeah? You can watch an event after it happens and you're not there. For instance, you had a conversation, this is a couple weeks ago, you had a conversation with a sister Jamila, right, a couple weeks ago, on a Saturday, if I remember, and on Sunday, I don't know your house, I was in the conversation, listen, I know your house, right, I was in the conversation, I didn't hear your conversation, right, I don't have Alexa in your house that is dropping, right, but I came here, and I paid, and you could see how she was really shivering here on that day, like, how do you know? So it means you can actually not be in a meeting and actually watch it. Right? Because you are watching in the spirit. So a physical baby is born and should be able to see, should be able to hear, should be able to perceive. So we now use these faculties. It's not that listen to me carefully. It's not that your spirit being has the same shape with you. Did you get that? I want to give you something to think about, but don't think about it too much. You know, some of us believe that when you got born again, you now have a spirit that looks just like you, inside of you. So what happens to somebody whose hand is amputated? There's the person was full, and the person had a spirit that took his shape. So when they amputate the person physically, the spirit hand is amputated. So your spirit now has one hand. Do you understand? It will also mean, look at it, for your spirit to take the shape of your body when you are born again. Don't allow Nollywood to play with you and Bollywood or Hollywood. Right? Because it means that the more you grow, the more your spirit grows. That means the more you eat rice and chips on this earth, the more your spirit is growing with your shape and aligning. But you know better than spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? Growing of the spirit. You know better that spiritual growth is not that your spirit is growing. So it means that if you go to the gym and work out the spirit. So it means that some of us, our spirit has pot belly. And when you go to the gym and have packs, what happens? Your spirit is now what? Six packs. Do you understand? Think about that. So don't let this knowledge of your shape is what your spirit looks like, right? In the real sense, the more you grow, the more you... So if you are building muscle, no. Right? How is spiritual growth gotten? It is gotten by eating, but not eating with your mouth. Eating with your heart. That means you hear. So it means that in the spirit world, you eat with your ears. Does that make sense to you? You eat with your ears. You eat with your eyes because you see God's word, you read God's word, you hear God's word. And the more you hear God's word, you are growing. So are you eating now? With your mouth? Beautiful. Not your mouth. So you are eating but not eating with your mouth. But you are eating. Right? So spiritual growth will not be dependent on what kind of meal you eat. Did you get that? So Paul now says, about that spirit you've received is God's spirit, one spirit. And he says, there are what? Varieties. Of what? Gifts. That means there are varieties of supernatural endowments. There are varieties of what? Endowments that comes with the birth. That is why he now says in verse 7, all these endowments of varieties of the spirit, they are in the spirit of the believer. Look at verse 7 again. He says, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to what? Every man to profit with all. Did you get that? Now, the word manifestation is a word that can be seen as the unveiling. Or the giving full disclosure. I'll give you that word again, manifestation. A word that means unveiling or giving full, take note of that, unveiling, full disclosure. Are we together? So Paul lets you see that you are endowed. That means there is no man that is born again that is not supernaturally endowed. So from birth, God has a plan for man, right, that is born again. It means from the moment you are born again, there's a purpose. And And because God wants that purpose to be actualized by you, He gives you what? Charisma, abilities, endowments. So why do you have legs to walk? Why do you have eyes to see? It is to fulfill or to actually live a life that will make you be a human to other men. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, you see, a man can be blind physically, but he is not blind spiritually. Did you get that? Are we here? You see, if we understand this very fundamental fact, some people cannot receive healing from certain men because those men have some disabilities. Wait, you know a man on a wheelchair can get 500 people on a wheelchair, up their wheelchair in 10 minutes. Yeah. Physically might be lame. Physically might be blind. Physically, you know some people, their nose cannot perceive, cannot smell. But when they perceive, they can give you a rundown of your past 2 years and a rundown of what will happen in the next 5 years. The spirit of God given to a man is a complete spirit. Did you get that? The spirit of God given to a man is a full package, a complete spirit. So the moment you are born again, you've received of his complete spirit. Are we together? And this has been what God has been speaking about from Genesis. Right? God will say, Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Now, in the real sense, okay. So, it means that what God wants to do on the earth, how will God do it? Through men. Did you get what I just said? Let me ask you a question. Does God want something done on the earth? Is there something God wants to be done on the earth? What is that? Men saved. How will he do it? Through men saved. Did you get it? God wants men saved, and God wants men to be saved, and he will do that through men that are saved. So, when you see in the beginning, Genesis 1-2, the earth was without what? Form and void, and the Spirit of God what? Moved over the face of the waters. So, how is the Spirit of God moving? When man moves. I mean, we'll talk that later. You get that? Right. But the reason, what I'm saying is, because God has a thought, and because man will always hear man, it means that man will be God's best method to communicate his thoughts. God has a thought. God knows man is designed to always hear man. See, you know that if you hear a voice in thin air, and saying that the voice is saying there's no window here. You know, if I say it physically to you that there's no window, you know you believe me about the voice. You know what? Why? Because man wants to be able to see what they can relate to. Right? So because you can see me, you believe me. Are we here? So God knows that man will always listen to man to understand God's thoughts. So what does God do? God uses men as his vessel to communicate his thoughts. And the interesting thing that will shock you is that God uses men who men call ordinary. Are we together? So you look ordinary. You see, in your school, in your class, in your work, you might not necessarily be the best student in your class, but you're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. You're not. Yeah? Is it good to be exceptional in your class? Yes, it is. It is. But regardless of your exceptionality in your class, God uses men, and God wants to use you. Did you get that? So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, you are born again now, but I don't want you to be ignorant of the endowments that you have. I don't want you to be ignorant of the supernatural ability, because man can actually be ignorant because they cannot see it with their physical eyes. Are we together? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Wherefore, I give you to understand. So I give you understand. Now there are diversities of gifts. What is diversities? Varieties. So it means that of that spirit you receive, there are various things you can do with the spirit. Are we together? You know, for a fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, after mentioning 9 gifts, he didn't mention casting out of devils like Jesus in Mark 16. So it really means is that whilst Paul classifies it as nine, there are more things you can do with the Spirit. Yeah. Did you get that? So who is a man that's born again? A man that is born again is a man that has come into God's kingdom, and upon entry into the kingdom, he's supernaturally endowed. So your eyes can see, your ears can hear, you can know. You can know, you can discern, you can know. You know, sometimes when I've been in a conversation where somebody is lying to me straight flat, and I just know you're lying. I'm not guessing you're lying because your words are not coordinated. You know, you can actually know. That's not discernment. No, when you start to read, you say, no, that is not discernment. That's not discernment we're talking about. You can actually know a foul spirit in operation in somebody's life. So Paul says, I will not have you what? To be ignorant. So if Paul refers to them as charisma, that is supernatural endowments, then these are the endowments that the believer has received upon being in the Spirit. So the moment you are in the Spirit, you are a man that is what? Supernaturally endowed. So what is believers meeting? Beautiful. Expression of, that's a beautiful word to say, expression of endowment. So when we have believers, what are we doing? We are coming here to distribute. Are we? Let me use Paul's words. So we have believers' meetings. We are coming here to divide. Right? To distribute among saints. We say, sister, take your own. Eh? So you now see how the link. So somebody starts with word of knowledge. So you might know something you want to say to somebody. It goes different ways. There are so many times, right? I know what needs to be said as per word of wisdom to people. But I don't know who the person is. So what do you do? The Spirit did not leave you helpless. He gave you word of what? Knowledge. So what do? You go back there and flow. So I want to say to you that this is what you should do tomorrow. Or let's say anyway, I want to say to one of you that this is what you should do tomorrow. Or let me say it better. Tomorrow, try as much as possible not to. No, I'm not. No, no. Hold on. Don't take. Hold on. This is an example. Right? So tomorrow, try as much as possible. Right? Okay, there's somebody here. I said I was going to do that. So, okay, tomorrow, try as much as possible to not do X, Y, Z. My name is for somebody here. You see, you can control it. Well, anyways, so, there's somebody here who should do this and not do this tomorrow. But, rather than say all of you don't do X, Y, Z, what I want to do, I want to find out who that person is. So I now say, so the Spirit of God says, okay, you want to find out, but I don't leave you helpless. Go ahead. And the moment I just say, I want to find that person, I just start getting information. The point is, we think that when we have those information, we think it's our mind beating around the bush. So what do you do? You shut it down. See, there are lots of believers who would have been saved and helped because by words from your lips, but you didn't talk. I remember a couple years ago, you know, when these things. So, because of the kind of family I grew up in, my dad was such a very supernatural man. But I knew a lot about the practice of the supernatural, but not the doctrine. So there are certain things I could express, certain things I could do. But when I started learning about the doctrine, which I was still learning, of the supernatural, at early stages, I will meet people for the very first time. I remember there was a guy I met for the first time, and I met him for the first time on evangelism, I remember. And I knew his name, but I didn't say his name. So, you know what helped me that day? The fact that I didn't say the name is not the end. There are other information now. Right? So, as soon as, hi brother, how are you? My name is Joshua. What's your name? He told me, and I said, ha. But I didn't do ha for him to see. Next thing is there's another information. Oh, how is your sister doing? Then he too will not do the ha. You understand? Ideally, I should have said, ah, I would have done this to shine. But because it's not about shining, and then I gave him his own. That's ah, what have I mentioned before that you know about my sister? Yes, so I think I must have said something about the relationship and getting prepared for wedding and everything. I can't remember the details. But I'm just giving you like, so there's many times you meet people, and 3 minutes into conversation, you find out certain things you need. So, what the world calls deja vu. Do you know that there's sometimes I see scenarios play out in front of me, and I see them weeks before, and I'm invested. I'm like, but I've been here. But I've been here. But ah, In fact, a lot of times, because I was there before, I now know what will happen next. Yeah, I've been in a room with a couple of people. One of those my friend, but the other two were not my friends. You know, and because, interestingly, I'd seen myself there teaching God's word. Everything we spoke about in that conversation, I believe it would not have led to God's word. But because I had seen it before, I saw that I ended up teaching God's word. Right? So, I've never been to the person's room before. This was about 4 years ago. I got into the room and I saw the room and I said, I've seen this room before now. And I said, okay, I've seen this room before. What's next? Where did I end up seeing? I saw I was teaching them God's word. Okay, what was that? So I sat down, right? And to show to myself that I wasn't dreaming, I said, go and check the door. Somebody is knocking. Somebody is about to knock, rather. Somebody is coming upstairs. Now, open the door, nobody was there. Only for them to be about to close the door, somebody was now running from the elevator. Hey, I'm coming in. I had seen that somebody would walk into the room. I had seen that I was going to teach God's word to 4 people. There were 3 in the room. I had seen it before. There is a number 4 that must come. Right? So I said, open the door. They open the door. As soon as they open the door, they didn't see anybody there. At that point, you say, hey, it has entered floor. As soon as the person was about to close the door, don't jam the door. A person walked in. You see, those kind of conversations, those kind of places, what kind of things they're talking about? Music. You know how when youths, our people, when we come together, rarely will you see people, youth, coming together teaching God's word. Is who's the reigning this? Who's the reigning DJ? The new DJ. Are you going for that show? Are you coming for that show? When is the show? Is it going to be in the evening? Are you about to sit there? Is it VIP? Will you sit on the floor? Will you stand up? That's the kind of talk. And we spoke. When I saw the third person coming, I said, you know that even though I had seen that I was teaching them God's word, I could have left that room without teaching God's word. I could. Right? And then I said, what will I twist? The mistake that lady made was she said she wanted to put a tattoo on her body. And the tattoo was a scripture. That's the end. And beginning from that tattoo, like Philip, for another 3 hours we're there. I was there in the room. Three hours we're talking. 3 hours. More than 3 hours actually. I just realized the last time I checked time was maybe 10 or something. Next time I say it's 1. See, how did we get... So, eventually, you can see things ahead and just think it's just coincidence. No, it's not just coincidence. So, you see, there are people who would have been saved from terrible events and accidents and things only if you had spoken. I was in a car very recently, and this was... Let me say this on air. Right, but I can say something that was related to that. You know, I've been in a situation where somebody is leaving me, right, and I could see that something serious is going to happen to the person in front. And what I said to the person, I said, are you going to pass through this route and all this kind of thing? He said, yes. Okay, so you know what I did? Because I didn't want the person to be scared. I saw the road where that will happen. And I said, do you actually think if you go through this route, or you faster, test it this time? That I saw it where it happened means that there's a tendency that if it doesn't pass that way it happened, it might not happen. Right? And if we're in that part, I said, when you get home, let me know you're home. The person goes home. As soon as I saw the person's call, and I heard, because you know, you can see the call, another voice will be saying, hello, are you the last person this person called? Hey. But as soon as I say, hello, pastor, I just knew that's out of the way. Why am I saying all of these things? God has a purpose for you on the earth. And because he knows that that purpose he has called you for is so cumbersome, he didn't leave you helpless. He gave you his spirit. So you are one who is what? Supernaturally endowed. Say I'm supernaturally endowed. Say I'm no normal man. Say I'm not an ordinary man. Say I'm full of the spirit. I'm full of power. Hallelujah.